I love the miracles and parables found in the Bible. I'm sure you do too. But are the stories just reflections of a time long since past? Or are they recorded in the Bible to teach us of God's love for us, show us God's providing for us, and God's instructions for us to live in His grace? Unlike any history book, the Bible has the power to transform us into the people God wants us to be. If we are open to hear God speak to us through the stories, we can and will experience God's grace in our lives. I hope that you love the stories of Jesus as much as I do. And today's gospel reading is a common and very familiar story. Did you know that the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 people is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels? The Gospel writers must have thought that it was an important story since it was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Perhaps this is because many theologians look to this miracle as a foreshadowing of the Last Supper and the institution of Holy Communion. Now, while reading the differing accounts of this miracle, I have come to believe that the four gospel accounts of this miracle and of this story are all parts to a whole. What a powerful story with many insights. Let's get back to the story itself to see what it means for us today. Let's start with the cleanup and move from here. Can you fathom how astonished the apostles must have been knowing that 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 people? And still, they collected 12 baskets of fragments. Jesus feeding 5,000 people is certainly a miracle. How 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish fed that many people is truly an amazing feat. In those days, the way they counted people, they counted the 5,000 people as men. So the theologians estimate that the actual crowd could have been 11,000 when counting women and children that were certainly also there. But what should we take away from this story? Every story, every parable, every situation, and every fish in the Bible has meaning. And many times there are multiple meanings, and this story is no different. There are 2 words that I want you to allow to marinate in your consciousness today during the service and take home to ponder later on this afternoon. Both are related to the fish in the story. The first word is giving, and the other word I will come to shortly. Back to the message found in the miracle story. On the surface, many would say the meaning of the miracle is, put your trust in God, and He always provides. Hear this again. Put your trust in God, and He will always provide. Now, the people followed Jesus into the deserted place, as described in the gospel account of Luke, in chapter 9, verse 12, without bringing any provisions. And He provided for their hunger. There were no 7-Elevens or Starbucks along the way, so they normally carried provisions with them. Others will say, all things are possible through God, and that is found in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And this is true as well. All things are possible through God. Still, there are others who would say, we don't believe this story. It's an exaggeration, or doubt that it could ever have happened. One such person, one of the apostles, is Thomas. But let's get back to the fish. What do the fish have to do with the story? Think about this for a moment. Do you have any ideas about the fish? The first word again is giving, and it is connected to the fish, giving fish. Now, in order to look at this miracle for a deeper meaning, we need to look back 2,000 years and put the human condition in perspective. Think about all the people involved in the story. They didn't have the conveniences we have. They needed to fetch water from the well, no indoor plumbing, no refrigeration, certainly no leftovers the next morning from a refrigerator. They didn't have a refrigerator. No cars, no lights, except for the fires they worked hard to start and to keep going. Food certainly didn't come easy to them, and what food they had spoiled quickly. They had to walk, go by horseback or boat to get anywhere. Wouldn't you say that they had a tougher existence? Wouldn't you think that they would have packed provisions for the journey into the desert? Well, they didn't. They didn't pack anything, and this set the backdrop for the miracle to occur. All that was available were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And John's gospel is the one of the 4 to point out that the loaves and the fish were small. And only in John's gospel does it point out that the food came from a boy in the crowd. This fact can easily be overlooked if reading the other accounts of this miracle. We don't know the boy's name. We don't know if the boy was alone or with his family. All we know is that the boy gave all the food he had to Jesus. Again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not record that the food came from the boy. Imagine that. And food in those days was harder to come by. There was no Costco's with abundance available to us, to them as there is to us. So the boy's giving is even more remarkable. Think of what great things Jesus did with so little. This miracle occurred because of a young boy's giving. And then Jesus gave so much more. They ate until satisfied, and still 12 baskets of bread were collected. Looking back to my childhood, I probably would have stayed home on the block where I grew up playing stickball or climbing trees. I don't believe that I would have followed that crowd following Jesus. I would have been content to stay put. Had I been urged to leave the block over 35 years ago as a young boy, I doubt that I would have given Jesus all of my food either. To be totally honest, I'm not sure that I would have given him any of my food. As a child myself, I did not believe in Jesus or the Bible. I did not become a believer until I was in my 20s. Some of you know this about me, but I became to believe in Jesus on a late night in the fall of 1992 while in an anatomy lab. God touched me while in this lab so deeply. He touched me to my innermost parts, and God opened my eyes and that he was missing in my life. Since then, I have become a changed person, and I am still working towards his purpose for my life. Now let's get back to the story. Would my selfishness stop a miracle? No, who am I kidding? Like I can stop God. Give me a break. If I thought that, then I have bigger problems with ego and pride than selfishness. Remember, God always provides. But my selfishness doesn't give God the opportunity to use me for his glory. We humans need to understand that God will do it with or without us. He does not need us to achieve his miracles or his purpose. He wants us to go along for the ride and experience his joy in the miracles and blessings he provides right alongside him. I know that I need to remember to get myself out of the way and let God lead me. Let us pray. Oh God, right here and now, please lead us to where you want us to show your presence. By lifting our selfishness and pride, let us give all we have, not from our abundance, but from our poverty, in your name and for your glory. Not because you need us, but because you want us to. Amen. All of us in the sanctuary give to God, in some form or another, and some more than others. And we all give in different ways. Some give time, some give talent, some give money. You get the idea. It is in our giving that God shapes us into who we are meant to be. God moves through our actions. And this miracle starts with giving food giving fish in particular in today's story. Let's move to the human condition to today's time. We have stuff, lots and lots of stuff. But this is not the stuff I want to talk about today. God placed something else on my heart. The first word is giving, and the second word relates to the fish, as does the first word. And you might be saying, just tell me already, get this over with. Okay, the title of the sermon may have given it away. Give a person a fish, and they eat for a day. But teach them to fish, and they eat for life. The other word to marinate on today is to teach. And in God's awesomeness, the four gospel accounts of the story fit together and tell a more complete message. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. That was Mark chapter 6, verse 34. So what is the miracle telling us to do? I believe that we are being commissioned by God to give and to teach hand in hand, and in this way bring God's sheep back to God's pasture. Only doing one part of the commission and not the other part is only going halfway. Remember, Jesus had compassion on them, so he stopped to teach them. Matthew reports in chapter 14, verse 14, that Jesus had compassion and cured them. Luke states in chapter 9, verse 11, that Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed to be cured. And lastly, in the gospel reading today, John 6, 2 reports that a large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. What are we doing as a church and individually? I truly believe that miracles are happening with the Wesley Dinners and the summer lunch program. This church is a missional church, and I love that about our church. We certainly give food and believe in social justice, and we do work for change. But where is God talking to us today? I feel in my heart that God is talking to us today to teach us to teach people to fish. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So if we are the body of Christ, then do we not want people to follow us? Jesus was and is the shepherd. Do we not have a charge to lead people to Christ? We need to be Christ to others by meeting their physical needs with food and for their stomachs. But we are charged to feed them spiritually as well. We are truly blessed for our Bible study, book study programs. But do we reach outside our walls enough to the mission fields? We have a close-knit church family, and this is a blessing in and of itself. We help each other in time of need. But do we teach the gospel outside of our church circles enough? This is what I want us to marinate on today: giving and teaching. Give a fish or a fishing pole. What makes a bigger difference? I want to finish with this thought. How can we expand our teaching outside these walls? And I ask myself the same question. How can I teach the gospel and lead others to God? How can God use me, to reach others? And here's the last thought I would like to leave you with. We may be the only Bible some people may ever read. Are we only giving or teaching too? Amen.